The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
All right. Well, over the last 4 weeks, I want to kind of get you caught up on some of the things that are going on with me and kind of how God has been dealing with me about our church and just kind of preparing us for the fall season. And I really believe, as I've talked to God, that he's really challenged me about the importance of us as a church connecting with him and connecting in prayer. And I know many of you here, I hope all of you here, spend some time every day talking to the Lord, but we really just a concerted effort of having corporate prayer together. Prayer changes things. Prayer breaks addictions. Prayer sets people free. And so starting next Sunday, I'm inviting everyone to join us at 9 o'clock a.m. Here in the auditorium. Now, next Sunday, we will actually be in the gymnasium, but in the gymnasium, I encourage you to be with me or to be with us, and we're going to pray together for a half hour. It's going to be a focused time, a prayer for our nation, for our city, and different things every week, and we're going to do that together. This is actually something that the Dream Team has been doing really for about the last 9 or 10 months, and I just feel like it's important to open that up to everyone that considers this their home. And so we're going to be praying each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and so I'd love for you to participate. Now, in your service guide, you all should have gotten a little card that looks like this. It's a prayer card, all right? Go ahead and wave it just so I make sure that you guys got it here. All right, what I'd like you to do with this is every Sunday when we pray, we're going to be praying over whatever requests were dropped in the previous Sunday. Now, with this one that's in your card, we're getting ready to go into the fall. Fall is a huge season for reaching people. And so today what I want you to do with this card is I'd like you to write your name, put the date on it, and I'd like you to write one or two names that we're going to pray over the next 6 or 7 weeks, and we're going to believe God that they're going to come to church and they're going to experience his presence and experience salvation. So just in this room alone, we should have 40 or 45, maybe 50 names, maybe even if you put a couple of names down, but we're going to pray over these the next 6 or 7 weeks, and this is something that every week these will be available at Information Central. So if you've got a prayer need that you want the team and the group that's here praying for you to be, someone to pray for your need, make sure you take these and just drop them in the giving kiosk where we put everything. Also, next Sunday, I know this is a little bit different than the way I start our messages, but it'll all make sense in a second. Next Sunday as a church, we are going to be heading into a season of 21 days of prayer. And so next week, I'm going to have prayer guides available for you, and I'm encouraging every person in this room to take part in that journey with us. I believe, as I've been praying about the fall, I believe that God has a great harvest of people for us as a church, but it's essential that we seek God's face. Listen, without the presence of God, I told the team this morning, without God's movement, without God's touch, without God's spirit, everything that we do here on Sunday morning is meaningless. And I know that may hurt some of your feelings because I love to see some of you, but I'd rather not see some of you at 7:30 on a Sunday morning. Maybe 12 or 1 would be a whole lot better, right? But we need God's presence to come and just permeate everything that we do here. And so we want you to be part of that journey with us. So now it makes sense why we're launching today a brand new series entitled Dangerous Prayers. And what we're going to be doing is each week we're going to be focusing on a different prayer found in Scripture that if we would actually pray this, if we would apply it to our lives, it will really help us in our spiritual journey. Does anybody here want some help in their spiritual journey, right? Nobody? One, thank you. There's 5 people, all right? I guess I'm speaking to you. The rest of you can just take it easy, all right? And so what I want to warn you is these prayers that we're going to be talking about, they're not easy prayers. They're not safe prayers. They're not, like that patty cake baker's man that we play with a little toddler. Like these are dangerous prayers, but they're dangerous in a good way. If you suddenly had the ability to hear people's prayers, you'd discover that most of us, we pray way too safely. And not only do we pray safely, but we also pray selfishly. We go to God like he's a genie in the bottle. Some of us only talk to him when we want something or when we need something. Our prayer life for many years, this was mine, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but it's the truth, often consisted of prayers like, you know, well, God bless us. You know, God keep us safe as we travel. God bless our food. God help us. God give me. Right? And so we struggle with these kind of prayers, and they're very surface, and they're really, quite honestly, kind of fake. They're just kind of limiting. I'm sure God's probably sitting up there saying, really? God, keep them safe. You think I need to work hard to keep them safe on their trip? And so the hope is that we're going to pray some prayers that really challenge God. In the movie Bruce Almighty, the lead character is played by Jim Carrey, and in the movie he has a bunch of things go wrong in his life, and so he gets mad at God and he complains that God is treating him unfairly. And so God actually contacts Bruce, and he has a proposition. He offers him all of his powers if he thinks that he can do a better job. And so Bruce, being ignorant, he accepts the position. I want you to watch Bruce's first day on the job as God.
Well, you took the job, Bruce, so I suggest you get to it.
Prayers, prayers, okay, prayers. This creepy whisper thing has to end. Organization and management, that's what I need. I need a system, something concrete. Concentrate.
Files. Let all prayers be organized into files.
Well, that takes care of the voices. Not exactly a space saver, though.
Grace might notice.
I know. Prayer post-its!
Something with a lock. Security combination. Password. Password. Yo!
You've got prayers.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now.
It's good. It's good.
This is gonna take a while.
$1,527,503 prayer requests. I better manifest some coffee.
Hola! Juan Valdez!
Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Disfruta un buen café.
Gracias, señor.
Adiós.
Adiós!
Now that's fresh mountain-grown coffee from the hills of Colombia.
Good.
Okay, I had to have made some kind of a dent by now.
Oh, come on! Oh.
What a bunch of whiners. This is gonna suck my whole life.
All right, well, hopefully that'll give you something to consider that you're a bunch of whiners every time you talk to God. No. My goal in this series is to arm you with some prayers that have the ability to really change your life. These prayers will take you outside of your comfort zone. They'll help you grow. And today we're going to look at a dangerous prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. David prayed this prayer after his enemies were attacking him and falsely accusing him. And they had all of having the wrong motives. And so instead of defending himself, David actually prays this prayer. You can follow along with you in your Bibles. We're going to be in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And this is what David says. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to break these verses down into four parts. In your service guide, there's an outline you can follow along with us. This is also available digitally on our church app, which you can get free by searching the Lifeway Church on your smart devices app store. But this is the first thing that David praises. He says, number one is, search my heart. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Now, some people think, well, why would we ask God to search our heart? Doesn't God know everything anyway? Doesn't God already know it? And the problem is that many people think this. They think this. They think, you know, I've got a good heart. I mean, really, deep down inside, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. This is actually one of those mistruths that for some strange reason we tend to hold on to and believe. But what we need to understand is that without Christ, we do not have a good heart. Listen to what the prophet said in Jeremiah 17:9. He says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And it is desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Somebody say, ouch, that hurts, right? Without the work of the Spirit, our heart is deceitful. Our heart is wicked. We deceive others, and we deceive ourselves. Truth be told, we're liars, right? How many of you in this room are a liar? Raise your hand nice and proud. All right, look around. Those who don't have their hands up, look around. Keep your hands up. The ones who don't have their hands up, just point up and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Come on. Oh, now everybody's raising their hands. Not everybody was into that. All right, you know, we're all liars. We all lie. And I believe that the most common lie that we tell is to ourselves. The heart is deceitful. We deceive ourselves. We don't even know how bad we are. Well, we lie to ourselves and we say things like this. We say things like, I'm not full of pride. I just can't help it that I'm better than everybody else. Right? Or I don't have a lust problem. I just have a deep appreciation for God's creation. I'm not a gossip. I just tell people things so they know who they should pray for. Listen, the heart is deceitful above all things. And so we need to use a dangerous prayer that says, oh God, search my heart. Show me what's going on inside of there. And the reason that this is a dangerous prayer to pray is because God is going to show you things inside of you that are not pure. And he doesn't do this to be cruel, but he does this to bring you into deeper intimacy with him. And as you pray this, what will begin to happen is the Holy Spirit will transform you into the image of Christ. I'm reminded of a story that I've shared here before, and every Sunday we have people here for the first time, but I've shared about 6 years ago, we had a really tough year that our family spent together in Florida. In fact, we initially thought that God was calling us to plant the Lifeway Church in Palm Bay, Florida, and so we had moved down there, but it was a brutal year. We went unemployed for an entire year. We lost our entire savings. We lost our entire retirement just trying to make ends meet. And it was during this season that God began to deal with my heart. Because while I had been devoted to the ministry, we had been in full-time ministry for years, my heart was not in the right place. Instead of loving Jesus passionately, I spent most of my time pursuing recognition and pursuing positions and pursuing those types of things that would make me feel good. And can I tell you that it almost destroyed my ministry? It almost destroyed our marriage relationship. And so God used this time when friends abandoned me and when there was no work and there was no money, there was no church worship team to lead, there were no set lists to prepare, there were no leadership meetings to attend. This time when I was all alone and everything that I knew and was comfortable with was stripped away, he finally got my attention where he could cause me to search my heart and look at what was inside. And I'm not proud of this, but I tell you what God showed me, there was a lot of garbage. There was a lot of junk. I was not a very nice person. There was a lot that God needed to clean out. And so if prayed sincerely, this prayer will be a game changer in your walk with God. David prayed, "Search my heart." And then he continued secondly, and he said, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Essentially, he was praying, reveal my fears. Reveal my fears. Know my anxious thoughts. And so I want to ask you this morning, what is it that makes you anxious? What is it? What are those things that make you afraid? I'm not talking about snakes or spiders or mice, Jake. Is that all right? Those of you who don't know, I'm deathly afraid of mice. I know I shouldn't have said that because I'll probably pay for that one day, all right? But what is it that internally makes you afraid? Well, what is it that makes you anxious? A lot of times these are things that we assume that everybody else worries about. You know, things like, you know, I'm afraid of losing my job, or maybe you're afraid of not getting married by a certain age, or you're afraid of maybe being stuck in a marriage that you're in and it's not going to ever get any better, or you're afraid about the future, or you're afraid of the unknown, or you're afraid of loss, or what if I lose someone that I value dearly? And so why do these worries matter? Why does David say, God, show me my anxious thoughts? And so if you're taking notes, this is the next blank in your outline. And the reason it is important to pray this is because what we fear most reveals where we trust God the least. I want you to think about that. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. If I'm scared to death that my marriage isn't going to work, I'm not trusting God, I'm not following his plan for my marriage. If I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to pay the bills, I'm not following God's financial plan, I'm not trusting God to be my provider. If I'm afraid about keeping my children safe, I'm not trusting my children to God. What you fear the most reveals where you trust God the least. And so David prays, God, reveal my fears. Test me. Show me where my anxious thoughts fall. I started praying this dangerous prayer this week in preparation for this message. And what God showed me about one of the things I fear is something I'm not proud of, but it is the fear of failure. And this is a real issue because in the church and especially in the role that I play, I cannot be driven by fear. I have to be led by faith because scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so what happens is when we battle fear and we battle being afraid, we have a tendency to keep from being obedient. And I know I'm going to open up here in this sermon. I'm probably giving you some things and probably more than perhaps you'd like to know about my imperfections. But I have to learn that to love pleasing him. I have to learn to love being obedient to him more than I am afraid of failing. More than I'm afraid of risking a bad decision or making a risky decision. So I just dare you to pray this prayer. Search my heart, oh God. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And what happens is the light of God's truth shines into that area as he reveals it. And you begin to see it and you begin to learn how to overcome and you begin to learn how to stand strong and how to live by faith. It's a dangerous prayer. Often God will reveal things to you that you may not have been willing to acknowledge on your own. You know, those things that we like to brush under the rug, you know, oh, I don't have this problem, or I've got everything all together. When we pray, search my heart, God, reveal my fears, God begins to expose those things to us. Going on, David prays, point out anything in me that offends you. Now, if you think the first two were hard, this one's brutal, right? This is where it gets really tough. Because number three is uncover my sins. Uncover my sins. I love the courage that it takes to pray this prayer. Show me, God, anything about my life that is inconsistent with your truth. God, show me anything that I'm doing that is displeasing to you. I'm asking you, God, to do an inventory of my heart, do an inventory of my life, and see if there is anything offensive inside of me. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is to see your own sins in the mirror? Yet it's so easy to see everybody else's. Have you ever noticed that? Am I the only one who, you know, I can point out everybody's faults a mile long, but it becomes very hard to make that self look? You see, we tend to accuse others while excusing ourselves. It's so easy to see everybody else's sins, but not our own. In fact, Jesus even talked about this in Matthew 7. He says, "Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own?" I mean, just think about that. That just sounds painful, right? But it's where most of us live. We see this little tiny imperfection in our spouse and we pick on that. Or we see this little tiny imperfection in that person. We pick on it. And God's saying, you've got a log in your own eye. The heart is deceitful. We look at others and we think that we're good because our sin isn't as bad as theirs. Listen, I promise you this morning that you will always be able to find someone whose behavior is worse than yours. We weren't called to measure ourselves against other people, but rather we were called to look to Jesus Christ as the standard. And it takes tremendous courage to give God permission. You know what, God? Point out anything in me that offends you. This is such an area that many of us struggle with our own sins. I want to give you three questions that will really be helpful for you to reflect on and look back on over the years to ask yourself as you're praying this prayer, uncover my sins. The first is this, is what are others trying to tell me? What are other people trying to say to you? In other words, if you've had three or four people who love you come up to you and say, you know what, hey, I think you might have a problem with this. I'm a little bit concerned about you in this area. If you've consistently got people who care for you, that are approaching you, that is something that you need to pay close attention to. There's a common denominator here in all these discussions. Guess what it is? It's you. You're the common denominator in all those conversations. And so if you have that happen, you've got multiple people coming up to you saying this, you need to pay attention to that. God is trying to get your attention. The second question you can ask is this, is ask yourself, what have I rationalized for some time? What have I rationalized? In other words, you know, what are the things that we say, yeah, it may not be right, but it's really not that big of a deal. It's just how I deal with things. It's just how I cope. It's really none of your business. I'm not hurting anybody. This is my one thing, and I deserve to have just one thing, one thing that I shouldn't do, and I'm going to quit one day. Just back off and leave me alone. Listen, what is it that you rationalize? And then the third thing is this, is where am I most defensive? What area in your life do you immediately put up barriers and walls? What topics will you not talk about or be open to discussion or open to criticism? Where are you the most offensive? You see, these three questions will typically show us the places that are significant issues in our lives. And if I'm being honest with you this morning, it's so easy to deny that they exist. There are times that Shiloh's come to me and said, this, and I get mad. I'm like, how dare you? You know, look at all this good stuff I do. No, but she's talking about a legitimate issue, and it's so easy to deny that they exist until we give God permission to reveal our sinfulness. I remember about 9 months into our launch, I was looking at Facebook, which is a really dangerous thing to do. I was looking at Instagram, and I was looking at the successes of some of the other church plants that planted around the same time as us and maybe a little before us, and I started comparing. And can I tell you, that's one of the most devastating things that you can do in your life. And not only was I comparing, but I was prideful, and quite frankly, I was being arrogant. I was looking at some of their large crowds and in cool buildings and their expensive lighting and sound and video cameras and their camera equipment. I remember thinking this thought, well, if we had a $200,000 launch budget, we could have had all that stuff and we would have had all of those people and we could be doing as good of a job as them. I mean the pastor of that church even seems a little weird. I mean, I'm way more normal than that guy was. You know, I wear nice clothes. I have a nice haircut. Our church should be growing like that. And it sounds funny, it's ridiculous, but we all do this in different places in our lives. And if that wasn't bad enough, I remember looking at some other plants who were smaller. And I began to feel really good about the job that we were doing. And I remember one day in prayer, God started to deal with me about my pride and about my arrogance and my propensity to compare. And I remember God strongly nudged me and said, if you want to grow and if you want to have the success that I've called for you to have, you need to stop looking around and start walking the journey that I have for you. God's blessing would never be there. God wasn't going to bless us if I couldn't get over this pride and anger or this pride and arrogance and this comparison. It was painful. It was difficult. I'm embarrassed to admit it to you this morning, but through God uncovering this stuff, I've been able to gain so much more peace. I've got peace to walk my journey. One step at a time. I've got the ability now to be able to rejoice over other people's successes and not be jealous and truly be happy when a pastor friend of mine, they baptized 30 in their baptism service. Right? I've learned to be able to rejoice and celebrate because I've learned to realize that their journey isn't my journey. And so when you have the courage to ask God to show the offensive ways in you, I promise that God is going to point some things out. God is going to reveal some areas that you've been trying to explain away for a long, long time. Things that you like to deny. Listen, can I tell you, don't deny the truth. Just because you deny the truth, it doesn't make the truth false. I encourage you this morning to submit yourself to what God is trying to show you and then have the courage to bring it to light. There are actually two different types of confession that the scriptures talk about. Almost all of us here probably do a really good job with the first one. In 1 John 1:9 it says, "But if we confess our sins to him, being Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." So we confess to God for forgiveness. But where many of us fail, it's in confessing to people. Listen to what James 5:16, it says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that," everybody say, "so that you may be healed." We confess to God for forgiveness, but we confess to other people for healing. And that's why life groups are an absolutely vital part of who we are as a church. Because when we come together as part of the community of God, we can pull a, and I'm not talking about confession and being stupid and just airing your business to everybody in the church, but what I'm saying is when we get into community, we can pull a trusted brother or sister aside and say, you know what, God is showing me this. I need help here. Would you help me every week and give me a call and hold me accountable in this area? Would you pray for me? And there's a beautiful thing that happens as we begin to do this. We begin to recognize, hey, he's not perfect. She's not perfect. And because she's not perfect and he's not perfect, therefore I can show my imperfections. Listen, one of the things that I hated about the movement where I grew up, and there was a lot of things that I loved about it, is that we walked around with this air of perfection. And I felt miserable. I felt terrible because I knew deep down inside I was a rotten scoundrel mess. But I all wore my suit every Sunday and I painted a smile on my face. Listen, we need to open up and confess and say to somebody, hey, I need help here. Would you pray for me? Listen, if you're perfect, this is the wrong church for you. This is a place where imperfect people are being transformed by God. And when we open up about our faults to one another, we recognize that we are all on a journey. Not one person here has arrived. I say this all the time when we're counseling with people that are going through difficulties. It's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to not be okay and not get help. Many of us have confessed to God over and over and over and over for issues. And I'm telling you, I sometimes he probably thinks, why do you keep coming back to me with this? I've already forgiven you, but we have this void in our heart, and that's because we're still not healed. We still struggle because we've not sought out someone to pray for us and hold us accountable. We all need help. Search my heart, God. Reveal my fears. Uncover my sins. When I add up the few personal struggles that I've shared with you this morning, it's not attractive. I've battled the fear of failure. I battled pride and arrogance, comparing myself to others to make me feel better. I've battled with living for the approval of people instead of just living for the approval of God. And listen, I'm telling you, I know that that's not encouraging for anybody, especially when you're a pastor. But what does the realization of these issues do in my life? There's a great blessing in it, and that is they point me to my need for Jesus Christ and his grace. Our need reveals the areas where we must call on him and learn to depend on him. This morning, you may be sitting here and you may not want to admit it, but deep down inside, you're addicted. Listen, you need his power to overcome your addiction. You may be sitting here this morning full of pride. You need his power to be humbled and depend on him. You may be struggling with an out-of-control lust issue, and you need his truth to renew your mind and to transform your heart. Maybe you battle with being materialistic, loving the things of this world, and what you need to realize is that this world is not our home. It's a temporary place. Heaven is our home, and so whatever he shows you, it always points directly to your need for Jesus Christ. Psalms 139 is a dangerous prayer that takes courage to pray because when you do it, God is gonna reveal a lot of things that you're not very proud of. But there's great hope this morning, and that is there is grace. Today there's grace. Right now there's grace. Right now there is a chance to start over. There's a chance to turn the page to a new leaf. And David, at the end of this prayer, at the end of this verse, he prays, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Number four in your outline is this, is simply lead me. Lead me. The beauty is that when he reveals these areas in our lives, he will give you the power to overcome. I love what John 16:13 says. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will lead us to grow. He will lead us to become stronger, to become healthier people, to become better spouses, and to become better parents, and better co-workers, and better employees, and better children. He shows up, he shows us these areas in our lives not to beat us up, but rather to help us become everything that he has called you to be, to help us improve the quality of the life that we live. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have life more abundantly. But most of us don't live an abundant life because we are saddled under this weight of guilt and condemnation. If you pray this prayer and you move toward Jesus, it's going to transform your life. I want everybody here to have the discipline of prayer, but can I tell you, I don't want you to have it out of a legalistic or religious requirement. I'm asking you to pray not because I just feel like you need to check something off the Christian to-do list or your to-do list for the day. I'm asking you to pray because I know it will transform your life. It's my desire that this prayer will become an ongoing part of your weekly prayer time. Now listen, this morning, I don't want you to raise your hand because you feel pressure. I don't want to manipulate anybody here this morning, but if you'll make a serious commitment to pray this prayer, take this outline with you and pray this prayer every day this week, And not only pray it, but then stop and listen to what God shows you, and with God's help begin to make the necessary changes. How many of you will continue to pray this prayer with me this week? Thank you. Lots of hands all over here. I guarantee you this will transform your life. Thank you. You can put your hands down. As we close, some of you right now, you feel like there's something maybe that's drawing you to God. And can I tell you what that is? That is His Holy Spirit. And when you pray and when you ask God to search you, what you're going to realize is that you've done a lot of things that are wrong. If you've ever felt guilty for those things, listen, that's actually a good thing. It's actually something that God has given us. It's our conscience that helps us recognize that we all have sinned and made mistakes. And if you're like me, many of us, when we realize the wrong we've done, what do? We try harder, right? We try to be better. And we think, well, maybe if I try hard enough, one day I'll be good enough for God. And what we fail to recognize is how it is totally and completely impossible for us to ever get to that place. If we could be good enough on our own, if you could do enough good deeds on your own to merit salvation, the cross, the brutal death of Jesus Christ was the biggest tragedy that our world has ever known. You know, the fact that we're sinners reveals our need for a Savior, and that's how good God is. He loved us so much that He took on the form of flesh. He robed Himself in flesh, and when He came, Jesus hung out with people just like you and me. He hung out with the messed up ones. The ones who didn't get it all right. The ones who sinned. The ones who made disastrous mistakes and fell way short. And He hung out with them and he loved them. But He didn't leave them there. He died on the cross for their sins and for our sins. And then the scripture says that on the third day he rose again so that anyone who calls on His name would be saved, would be forgiven. And I believe that there are some people here this morning that you recognize today that you need Christ. You need His forgiveness in your life. You need His grace. That's why you're here this morning. You can sense it even right now, just a stirring in your spirit that you're ready to call on Him. And so what do we do when we get to this place, when we feel our heart being tugged? We repent. And that's a scriptural word that really just means to turn away from our sins, to make an about face and to walk away. To turn away from them and say, you know what, I'm going to walk away from that stuff, Jesus. I'm going to instead walk towards You. I surrender my life. I'm asking You to save me, Lord. Be the first in my life. If you're here this morning and you say, yeah, you know what, that's me. Today's the day. I can sense it. Today is my time to make that step. By faith, I give my life to You. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, we don't want to embarrass anyone here. But if that's your prayer here, would you lift your hands right now? Is there anybody here that would say, you know what, I'm ready to make a commitment. Thank you. There's a hand in the back. Anyone else here that maybe you need to recommit your life to follow Jesus? You've drifted away. Listen, this is the best decision that you could ever make. Thank you. Let's all stand together. In just a moment, we're going to pray together, and I challenge every person here this morning to ask this question: God, what are You trying to speak to me this morning? Search my heart, God. What is it inside of me that You want to reveal to me? In just a moment, we're going to have a couple leaders that are going to be down here in front, and they're here to pray with you if you need prayer in any area of your life. If you've got a physical need, if you've got an emotional need, a spiritual need, they're up here just to pray with you. And so when we start singing, you can feel free to walk down in them. But this is what I want all of us here to do. I invite you to talk to God out loud. And if you don't know the words to say, you can repeat after me, but I want us all to pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, today I give my life completely to You.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.